If you listen closely, God will speak to you. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Wednesday, and if by this point in the week you are starting to feel overwhelmed by all your duties, obligations, burdens, all the challenges at work or at home, will you remember to laugh today? Laughter is music of the heart. Laughter is pain turned inside out. Laughter is the shock absorber of life's hard knocks. Folks, you got to laugh. You don't stop laughing because you've grown old, because you've grown old laughing. You've grown old because you stop laughing. We got to grow old laughing, and then we'll be young at heart. You know what I do on Wednesdays, at least this year? I talk about Christmas. Christmas is not a date on the calendar. Christmas is a way of life. It's an attitude. It's a mentality. It's something that we should live every day of the year. And at least I try to do that on Wednesdays this year. And I do that by sharing with you a Christmas song. In the background, there's a story, always a story, right, of a song. And this time, I want to share with you the Christmas song, Do You Hear What I Hear? Okay? Let me give you the background. This is from Stories Behind the Best Love Songs of Christmas. Well, first let me share with you the words of the song, okay? You know the haunting melody. Do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? Okay. The odds of Gloria Shane and Noel Rainey coming together were long at best, yet somehow, although born worlds apart, a Frenchman and an American found each other in the middle of the world's busiest city, New York, and eventually teamed up to create a Christmas song that was truly inspired. Noel Rainey grew up in Europe with a deep love of music. As a young man, his effort to create new classical compositions was interrupted by the outbreak of World War II. Forced into the Nazi army, Rainey soon escaped to his native France and joined a group of resistance fighters. Instead of writing peaceful music, he spent the rest of the war fighting to bring peace back to France. After the war, it was music that brought Noel to the United States, and in the late 1950s, he wandered into New York's Beverly Hotel. There, in the luxurious dining room, he saw a beautiful woman playing popular music on the piano. Though he spoke very little English, Noel was so enthralled that he boldly introduced himself to Gloria Shane. Within a month, the man who spoke rudimentary English and the woman who didn't understand French married. On the surface, Noel and Gloria's union was very unique. What could an American woman determined to write rock and roll and a Frenchman in the States to record classical music have in common? Yet, it would take the marriage of both their skill and insight, as well as their cultures and experience, to create a song that would cause millions around the world to stop, look, and listen. By 1962, Noel had mastered English and been completely exposed to the world of American popular music. Thanks in large part to Gloria's writing a huge rock and roll hit, teen idol James Dearon had cut Shane's Goodbye Cruel World and took the number to the top of the charts. As her career took off, Gloria's passion for writing magnified. She spent hours each day at the piano beating out new material. While Noel saw the financial potential of popular music and heard his wife playing it every day, he still wanted to create something beautiful that would last longer than just a quick trip up the charts. The inspiration that would utilize both the man's classical imagery and his wife's contemporary beat was to come from yet another war. This one fought a long way from the American city Rainey now called home. Noel had often prayed that World War II would be the war that would finally end all wars. He couldn't imagine anyone wanting to revisit the horrors he had viewed firsthand. Yet his prayer had been shattered in the 50s by the fighting in Korea. After Korea, Rainey watched his native France and then the United States become entangled in the bloody jungle battle in Vietnam. As more and more young men were injured and killed, the Frenchmen wanted wondered if the world would ever find real peace. Fighting the depression, brought on by flashbacks to his own days as a Nazi soldier and then as a resistance fighter, coupled with the news he saw on television each day, Noel sought out something that would bring him peace of mind. In an effort to put his pain into perspective, he turned back to the one moment in time when he felt the Lord had given men a chance to live life without hate, fear, or conflict. Picking up a pen, Regney wrote a poem about the first Christmas. Fighting through some of the most difficult moments he had ever faced, Noel pushed away his nightmarish memories of World War II, the news from Vietnam, and the current tension building between USSR and the U.S., a pressure that seemed to be pushing the world into yet another war. As he concentrated on the events leading up to the birth of Jesus, the world around him grew strangely quiet. His memories took Noel back to a scene of sheep walking through the beautiful green fields of his native France. He considered the innocence of a newly born lamb. This was the creature whose spirit man could emulate, an animal that surely the Creator himself had touched in a very special way. Thoughts of the lamb and a child who might have cared for it, inspired Noel to write a poem that not only described peace on earth, but which also spoke of the peace that came to earth on that first Christmas night. When he finished, Gloria recalled, Noel gave it to me and asked me to write the music. He said he wanted me to do it because he didn't want the song to be too classical. I read over the lyrics, then went shopping. I was going to Bloomingdale's when I thought of the first music line. When Gloria returned home, she discovered that she had inserted an extra note in her melody, causing her music to no longer fit Noel's lyrics. Listening to what his wife had composed, Noel opted to add a word rather than risk losing what he considered one of the most beautiful melodies he had ever heard. So, from the song, "Said the Wind to the Little Lamb" became "Said the Night Wind to the Little Lamb." Not only did this addition keep the music intact, but the imagery of God speaking on the wind became even more wondrous. Yet when Gloria asked him to change one more line in the first verse, Noel balked. "I told him that no one in this country would understand tail as big as a kite," Gloria explained. "Yet he wouldn't change that. As it turned out, he was right. It's a line that people dearly love." The couple took the finished song to Regent Publishing Company, owned by the brothers of famed big band leader Benny Goodman. Is one of the New York's best music houses. With Noel singing and Gloria playing, the song made its professional debut. Within minutes, Regent had contacted Harry Simeone. It was his group that had scored a huge Christmas hit 4 years before with Little Drummer Boy. Simeone wanted to hear the song right away. Since the couple didn't have a demo, Gloria recalled that this created a major problem. Noel couldn't play and sing at the same time, and I had to go play for a commercial. I couldn't break my date, so he went by himself. When he got home, he told me that he had botched it up. Gloria and Noel had every reason to believe "Do You Hear What I Hear" would not be recorded. Even if Regney had perfectly performed the song for Simeone, since the David Seville's Comical Chipmunks had recently scored with a novelty Christmas number, it seemed that no one was looking for a spiritual holiday song. Both were shocked when, a few days later, the Harry Simeone Chorale recorded their touching work with plans to release it as a single. Noel had not had much success in his classical career, Gloria recalled, and he wanted to do something meaningful and beautiful, and this song he did. The couple could not have dared imagine the effect "Do You Hear What I Hear" would have on the nation. At the height of the Cold War, millions like Noel were yearning for peace and hope. This carol's combination of words and music powerfully voiced through prayers. Newspaper stories of the time wrote of drivers hearing it for the first time on the radio and pulling their cars off the road to listen. It seemed that the song didn't just touch the world, it made people stop, look, and listen. In 1963, "Do You Hear What I Hear" became a Christmas standard when it was recorded by Bing Crosby. It was sung by church choirs, became an integral part of television specials, and inspired numerous magazine features and even Christmas sermons. "We couldn't believe it," Gloria admitted. "So many people wrote us to tell how much the song meant to them. We didn't know it would cause that kind of outpouring of sentiment." 4 decades after that, they first sang it for the publisher, Noel and Gloria have heard hundreds of different versions of their song. While each is special in its own way, Gloria explained that it was Robert Goulet's that made even the songwriter step back and listen. When Robert Goulet came to the line, "Pray for peace, people everywhere," he almost shouted those words out. It was so powerful. Goulet had gotten it right. That shot was exactly what Noel thought the whole world needed to be doing each day, demanding peace for all people everywhere. Now the hands of the woman who composed the music have been silenced by an operation that keeps her from playing the piano. Noel, whose past experiences brought the words to life, recently had a stroke. He can no longer speak, much less sing. Yet thanks to the song that brought both Gloria and Noel to the spotlight, the message of peace on earth and goodwill toward all, found in "Do You Hear What I Hear?" touches millions each year. Powerful, huh? I love that song. I love that part. "Do You Hear What I Hear?" Okay, today's food for thought. Today's food for thought comes from the woman who struggled to bring peace to Northern Ireland, Bernadette Devlin. She writes, "To gain that which is worth having, it may be necessary to lose everything." And she was speaking out her own personal experiences, right? Today, who are our prayer partners? I want you to pray for people who have Crohn's disease. That is a terrible inflammation that can start all the way up the beginning of your esophagus. It can wreak havoc anywhere within your gastrointestinal system. Please pray for people. They suffer terribly with this. Ask God. Join me, okay? Dear God, for all the people right now who may be struggling with Crohn's disease, I pray for a special miracle, a special blessing in their lives. Lord, let them experience a healing. Let them have more peace and comfort in their day-to-day living. And I ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. A husband stood watching his son mow the lawn. His wife asked, "How on earth did you get him to do that?" "Simple," said the husband. "I just told him that I lost the car key somewhere in the grass." Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Love to hear from you. It really is a shot in the arm to know that people are actually listening to my program. Drop me a note, email, whatever. And I will appreciate that very much. Say you have something special, you want somebody to join you in praying about this special situation, person, need. Let me know what your prayer intentions are. I'll be your prayer warrior. I'll storm heaven with you and for you. And I keep that promise, honestly. Also, if you can help me with my hospital, keep it open. My hospital for poor in Oaxaca, Mexico. If you can write a check to TASH, T-A-S-H, Inc., and send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. God will bless you. And you can always visit my website for more information at Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there's sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord.